Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. John Yoder's been preempted by Bon Jovi. Anyways, Tuin, you're both on the line. I was just watching that video. You know, I wanted some kind of crazy and radical tonight because I've had a week of suppression, and the release is today now. After 5 days of sickness, I'm better. I noticed in the video that back in those days probably the 90s it was, there were class distinctions. No one tried to be anyone else. Like the Bon Jovis of the world and the Elton Johns and the famous people, they didn't try to co-opt into the Reagan administration. They didn't cling on to Obama. drama like Beyonce and Jay-Z. I don't know. Everybody was themselves. They didn't try to, you know, power broke. So I liked that world back then. And Don, by the way, I'm sorry I had to subject you to long-haired white people music. So here we go. I'm going to pull you both in now. Hi, Don. And John.
Hi, good evening.
How are you guys doing?
Great. Beyond busy.
Beyond Bon Jovi?
Beyond
John,
busy.
How are you doing? You're busy. You had to work from 6 to 2, 6 a.m. to 2, and you probably had to do stuff at night with your family. John, what have you been up to today?
Well, hello, Jane Hoffa, Lama, Obama, Mama. It looks like we're surrounded. Let's see. I'm John. We got Don on the line. You played John Bon Jovi, and you're all about Donald Trump. So I think you're surrounded by a lot of Don Juans.
And I'm not sure who I want to be.
Wow, and you're a Jane, so that's close. That's a J-A-N-E.
Or where the selection. Uh-huh. I sat in a sauna today with 6 naked women talking about politics.
Do you have room for one more? A guy?
There was two from my generation, me and this other lady who's supporting Hillary, who are both delegates. And then there were 3 people from Lawrence High School, and one is 17. Both her parents served in Iraq, and they both have PTSD. She was gorgeous, tall, and had a tan. And she's 17, and she's already in the Army, she said, and she's already taking college credits through her high school.
She was naked in the pool with you guys?
No, the sauna.
Well,
but
like
I'm wondering how
It sounds like she's preparing for the Army to be surrounded by other naked women in a steamy situation.
Yeah, and the lady who was really buck naked was the biggest Hillary supporter and was going on and on about women's rights.
Wow. It looks like we silenced Don on that one. How's Don doing?
Don is fine listening to the various conversations coming out of one conversation.
You want to hear something disturbing, though? The only girl that spoke up a lot, there were 3 in the sauna. One of them said she will not vote for Hillary because of Benghazi. We didn't get into the conversation, but I'm just tired of that stupid same line.
It's not stupid.
I know, but I read a poll. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I was the we had our Washoe County platform caucus yesterday, and I was at the Lawler Event Center here in Reno the night after we won the Reno Wolfpack won the CBI College Basketball Invitational Tournament, the third biggest tournament in the country. And so I was there half the night then, and then went back early in the morning for the caucus. And I was the Washoe County Sergeant of Arms. I also am on the platform committee, was one of the ushers, and also a person who gave the information to folks about the platform. And so I had a red.
What was
really,
the purpose
really,
of the meeting?
This was the Washoe County Democratic Platform Caucus. This is the delegate caucus. And also, I forgot to add, I am a delegate. So,
well, I know what you're talking about. That's my next stage is April 23rd.
Right.
Now, What was the percentage of black to white or minority to white at the meeting? Is it predominantly white or?
Yes, zero. 0% black besides me and probably, I'd have to say 20 blacks. And we're talking about 728 or 82 people. So this was we're here in Reno, Nevada. So you've got to understand that that is not predominant. That's not a, there aren't very many blacks here. We've got 11,000 blacks to 275,000 people. So that gives you an idea of the paucity of the black.
You only have 1,100 blacks in a city of almost 300,000?
11,000.
Oh, okay.
We have 11,000 blacks.
Well, Don was talking about this to me earlier, John. Nevada's kind of a white conservative country, especially in northern Nevada.
Well, it looks like Don has mastered the art of dancing with the white man, which is pretty cool because we always kind of thought of it as this extreme, you know, almost backward prejudice kind of, you know, hate monger against white people. But here he's dancing. He's working with it. This is awesome.
No, you're missing it, John. I'm the lead.
He's the leader.
So are you the prop man or are you legitimate?
Legitimate.
He's Black Moses.
Too legit to quit. Well, we know that because you want to know why? Because you're highly intelligent, and anybody who has more than a 15-minute conversation with you can figure it out.
Absolutely.
I'm going to get a T-shirt that says Black Brains Matter. You know, he's got a brain. He works it.
I like it.
Which,
I like
mean,
it.
Really, I love it because, you know, I work a lot with the Hispanic community, although I'm not totally part of the team. And the point is, I deal with a lot of ignorance, just a lot of stupidity. The scripture says my people.
Why don't you say just jaded cultural upbringing instead of stupidity?
James.
No,
it's James.
Stupidity.
He said it correctly.
Oh, yeah. We try to water it down. But the point is, the truth sets you free. If I just, you know, take it for what it is, it's just stupid thinking. I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, I had the chance to be part of this, you know, small group of gifted kids who would get special scholarships and classes and, you know, prepare us for, you know, the inner circle of, you know, brain people. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm not after material success or money, all those things. I'm busy following God and the kingdom of God. And I didn't realize you make the most important decisions when you're stupidest. And so I didn't factor, because my inexperience, that I'm going to work 40 hours a week anyway, plus overtime. So why make a third of the money without having a college education? Stupid. Totally stupid, you know. But hey, that's where I was at. That's the truth.
So you're trying to mentor these kids. They don't always get what you're saying, but you are making some impact, right?
It's more kind of like you're watching them before they drive off the cliff or they're going to crash into the wall. I'm talking about the musician, creative people. All of them, I've advised them, get a second skill, get a dependable fallback career thing going, because what will happen, you're going to fall in love with some 17 or 18 or 19 year old girl. You'll be steady boyfriend, girlfriend. How long are you going to keep that up before you're going to the abortion clinic or you're going to be a daddy with no college? You're going to try to support this family on the west side of LA where you can't even get into a house without $1 million. You know, you're jammed already before you start. And this dream of being a musician and an artist, you know, that's a crapshoot anyway. So, and what do? You know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, they got their steady girlfriends for 2 years, 3 years, you know. They're not going to college. Just, what can I say? You know, you can't stop stupid.
You can't.
Well,
you
at least, you know.
That's a bad example, John, because you can't stop human nature. Human nature is like that. But
John, I understand your logic, and you've held off 20 years, but you are the mentor and the music leader in the church, so you're naturally going to meet musicians. So, but you have told us about the college students at Santa Monica College who pick art and stuff like that over, like, computer science. So, yeah, we've heard this, but it doesn't mean that you're not making a difference. I just want to let you guys know we have a caller from, I think it's the St. Louis area. They've been on hold for 2 to 3 minutes. So we're going to let them come in a minute, but finish your point, John. I'm going to give you a couple minute or two to finish your point.
Well, I will say this. At least they're not getting sucker punched. They're not walking into the, you know, hitting the wall full speed going, I never saw this coming. They're coming up to it going, oh, yeah, John told me about this. One of them, in fact, actually, he got into a real estate office, and he's working there learning how to sell real estate on the west side in the most, you know, one of, you know, probably the top 4 or 5 real estate areas in the country, or, you know, and close to the planet. So I'm like, totally, this is great, you know. A couple of them have also kind of backed out of their relationship. They're, like, evaluating college and their options. So at least they're not getting sucker punched where they go, I never saw this coming. And I didn't have mentors like that. So to that point, you know, you're right. I make a little difference. Baby steps. That's how it works.
Before I bring the caller in, and you did make a good point, just so you know, every kid in America who has a B or C average or better can get $5,500 for even junior college for the Pell Grant if they come from a poor family household. But tonight's topic, I'm just going to read the headliner before I bring the 314 caller in. Tonight's headliner is two things. I am going to the Trump rally in Superior, Wisconsin tomorrow. Any advice? That was the title. Jane is going to the rally tomorrow as a bug on the wall. She wants to see what really happens at these things. She promises fair and unbiased reporting. Now, if I didn't get it, I just got a job in a school. I don't think throwing cherry tomatoes is going to be a good idea. We're not allowed to bring signs. What I'm going to do to be effective is I'm going to videotape anything that I see that's off color. And then it's kind of like a stringer. I'll sell it to a news organization. No, I'm not going to be a hostile witness. I'm just going to absorb it all, and then I will make my effective transition on what I see through YouTube and video posts. So with that, I'm going to bring this caller in. This caller does not know our political persuasion, but I want to hear what they're going to say. Hi, 314,
hello.
You're on the air. Are you listening or do you want to talk?
No, I was answering your topic because I went to the Trump
okay.
rally here in St. Louis.
Yes?
Yes, and it was a great experience. And you're
really?
Absolutely right. When you obtain your ticket, it tells you right on the ticket what you cannot do in the venue, which is a private venue. And if you break the rules, you would be put out. I would suggest that you go early, like about 5 o'clock in the morning, because that's what time they started to assemble, line up here in St. Louis. And the blocks circled like 4 square blocks. Yes, I am. The line circled like 4 square blocks. Pardon me?
I saw the video coverage of one of the St. Louis rallies, and there were a lot of people across the street from the auditorium holding signs, but they did not look like they were intrusive. However, I did see a white guy call a white woman a whore or something like that on someone's video camera. Like, I saw people being hostile for no reason before the event even started. But how was it inside? How was it inside the event?
You couldn't get in the event, like I said, unless you had got there by 5 o'clock in the morning and got that head of line. But you had the proper provocateurs. You had protesters outside. You had black protesters. You had white protesters. You had the African American gentleman that had his 9mm on one side, a 30 and a 15 clip round magazine on the other side, and he was talking, shaking hands with the police, and also talking and shaking hands with, you know, the whites that was going into the rally, because St. Louis, Missouri, is an open carry state, long as you got the license. And as I said, you
That's
had provocateurs,
mm-hmm.
and they had to be getting paid, because some of the things that they was doing, I wouldn't have done unless somebody was paying me very well. But I had a nice time. I had the opportunity to talk to people who had drove as far as, you know, the Arkansas border. They was expressing their concerns about unemployment. One lady came from a town where 70%, either 60 or 70% of the unemployment in that town, Farmington, Missouri. And they was talking about Social Security, schools, education. And Trump was talking about the same thing, because you could hear what was being said on the inside by way of the loudspeakers. And I'm black. And I mean, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me put this in there. I'm black, and I still got my neck. I don't have any rope burns on it.
Don, I want to introduce you. Don is the co-chair of the NAACP in Reno, Sparks, and I'm sure he has a comment for you. So go ahead, Don.
The only comment was that I wanted to know where the yet was. You don't have the noose around your neck yet.
No, I said I don't have it. I said I don't have a noose around my neck. I didn't have a noose. My neck is still here. No rope burns and so on on. And the brother that was carrying the 9mm, he's and nothing happened to him. St. Louis police act very professional, which I know the police chief Dotson. If I ever have an opportunity, I will remind him of that.
Yeah, no.
Trump's been accused of as being a bully, and then here you have people showing up acting like bullies. It's like, if you want to have, you know, if you want that kind of culture, then you've got to act like the culture that you want. So I think what happens is, if people start going crazy, like, we're going to start threatening him everywhere he goes, we're going to attack his wife, we're going to, you know, send things to his kids, it's like, what you're encouraging is, whoever's the leader, they're going to start, whether it's Obama or Hillary or Bernie or whoever, you're going to encourage eventually someone to say, I'm going to take control of things, and in martial law, we're going to shut everything down. Your rights are going to be suspended, because the people have to be controlled and they can't manage themselves. So people have to realize, protest if you like. That's America. God love it. But keep it cool, and don't go all crazy, because you're going to screw it up for everyone else. That's my nickel.
Well, yeah, that's a good point you made there. And my counter to that with the, if you don't support Trump, why in the hell you go to his rallies?
What's your name,
to give
by
him more
the way?
Publicity.
Yeah.
What's your first name?
My name is Pianchi.
Okay. The reason I'm going to the rally is, there's a secret part of me that wants to raise hell, but I'm a radio host. I'm a single mother with two jobs, and I can't put myself at risk to act stupid at an event that's not going to – I'm not going to gain anything by acting up there. What I would like to do is go talk to the people, even who are vehemently opposed to me, and think, you know, fall along really strong lines, whether it's race or belief. And I'd like to talk to those people and maybe – try to reason with them in the little time I probably have to do it. Otherwise, I'll just observe and watch, because in my heart of hearts, if I wasn't older and I didn't have a son to take care of, I would take more radical direction. But unfortunately, I can't.
But
well,
if,
you know, I say this.
Time you've attended something like this, like to the opposite side, or in other words, Donald is trying to get your attention, And he's got it. I don't think. Have you ever been to a Republican, you know, pre-election meeting in your life?
No, but there's one question I would ask Donald Trump if I was face to face with him. I could say, with all your billions of dollars, could you give $2 million to at least three or four inner city areas in America? And so they can work on building their nonprofits to help people who are poor instead of just throwing all your money in a presidential race. So that's one question I would ask them.
I would give him advice and tell him don't do that.
Slow down.
Really?
First of all, let me just interject the thing I always do. Fuck the presidential race. Worry about the down ticket and down issue items. Point blank. And the second thing is that Donald Trump, that you want to ask him the first question is job creation and infrastructure and getting the people in the unemployed in the inner cities, the inner city black men, some jobs. That's important. That's not important. That's vital.
Well,
I don't
look for the federal government.
To the inner city, but he has to give it to somebody, not just pontificate about his pride and his accomplishments.
What was that, Perito? Anyway, it's about infrastructure. It's about infrastructure repair, our trains, our tunnels, our bridges, our sewer systems, our water systems, our crap. They're shit. And if we don't get that fixed, we're not going to have any United States that looks anything like it was before. We have decaying cities. We have malfunctioning police, military forces. I guess you live near Ferguson if you live near St. Louis. And you know that.
I know Ferguson very well.
And the city is completely run on black fines and fees, period.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was going on. But you know it was a group of Democratic mayors that tried to trick just recently went to Cole County and appeared before a judge to try to get him to strike those limitations down.
Exactly. Right. But we need to get that done immediately, and we need the police force to completely reorganize. And we're doing that here in Reno, Northern Nevada. We've got the 21st Century Community Policing Task Force that was the Obama mandate, and we're implementing that in our police force now, and we've got forces around the country coming here for training. And we're a progressive city. We've just got Tesla in and Microsoft, and we've got Apple, and we've got everybody. And the thing is that we don't have a rust belt, but we'll have an opportunity to see if Donald Trump, who is a friend, I believe, of Elon Musk and all these people, he will have a vested interest in Nevada. He already does with his Trump towers down in Vegas. But we're going to see. I would like to see what he really is about, and that's the issue. We're not calling everybody a punk, bitch, or a hoe.
I guess my point is, can I ask you a question? I forgot how to pronounce your name. It was something like peyote. But why do you think?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm glad you say the St. Louis police are professional. I think what you're trying to say is that they can walk into a situation, observe something, and assess it before overreacting. I guess that's my assessment of a well-behaved police force. But I'm glad you feel comfortable in your own city. And I have friends in St. Louis, and I've been through there a few times in the last 3 years. They like it, but there was a lot of scrutiny in that whole scope of that area for over a year, less than 2 years ago. So why do you feel comfortable in your city, and what do you think the most critical problem in America is now, besides the vast people who hate billionaires like Bernie Sanders and people who are billionaires like Trump? I mean, why is there such a passion for a political spectrum that doesn't seem to be able to meet in the middle?
Well, because those spectrums are pushed by originated forces. And those forces...
Like people who are alienated?
Well, no. You know, Bernie comes from Vermont, and you have Lockheed Martin there in Vermont. That depends on war dollars. And he's going to do everything he can to make sure that that happens. I don't know how Bernie associates so well with blacks when blacks only make up 1.2% of the state of Vermont. And they're overwhelmingly, they have the highest disproportion of their percentage in prison. So that's something that people need to consider. Hillary Clinton is very dangerous, a very dangerous person. And
why do you say that?
Because she has a record. She has a long record for those who've been around.
I wouldn't call her dangerous at all.
You know why
I
call her dangerous?
I agree with our caller. I think this is one of the. I'm voting for you. Seeing a bigger picture, and you know, it's a balance. Is what I'm saying. You're not saying everyone's all evil. You're looking at things a little bit objectively. Hillary's dangerous.
They're evil. They're all evil.
This is true. You have to pick.
I'm not going to comment on that. The Clintons are stable. They're middle of the road in every single thing. They look out for the health, education, and welfare of the country.
They're Wall Street. They're Masons. They believe that they will take over the world. This is not a joke. They are dangerous people. These people.
Bill Clinton can't even walk straight. He looks so gaunt.
But that's not the point. The point is that his foundations can carry him anywhere he wants to go. His past is just like the caller said. Her record is, if you really look into it, horrendous. It is absolutely horrendous. And
I disagree.
Oh, you can disagree. We don't care. The bottom line is that we know you don't. So the bottom, you know, we've got to develop a next candidate in the next race. But in this race, the Supreme Court is going to be determined by the candidate. You'll also have other issues, same-sex marriage. That's gone if the Republican is in there. We've got the border. We should start building one on Canada because we've got one-third of our immigrants coming through Canada. We've got so many other issues that are coming down the pike. Voters' rights. We've got other things that if one or the other party has it, it can go completely awry in the next 35 years.
There should be a wall on the southern border. Trump is absolutely right. 65 countries have walls. Why come the United States can't have walls?
Northern border.
Well, you need one on the southern border also.
You guys is, I lived in Los Angeles for 17 years. There's cities between LA and San Diego that are 90% illegals. Escondido is one of them. Bush 41 and Bush 43 permitted it. Nobody has ever taken a really strong stance on immigration until 2001, the Twin Towers fell. Then I know someone from Pakistan who was deported in Liberia, and it wasn't until the Twin Towers fell that, or 9/11, I should say, that the immigration thing really got scrutinized. Now, I live only an hour from Canada, and I don't think you should destroy the natural beauty of Minnesota and Canadian borders with a bunch of guards and stuff. I know Sierra Leone people who moved to L.A. from Canada, and the Canadian government pays for their college education in Los Angeles, and the Canadians are cooperative with their immigrants who they support, whether they're living there or here. So maybe there are a few bad seeds who slip through, but, you know, we have to be realistic. I will support my old friend Ernest in this sense. You know, if you look at the Earth from a spaceship, there's no borders. Like, we can't just control people because of money. I mean, people are desperate, and yes, the Mexican government should fix their, you know, they should fix their economy so there's more opportunity. But let's face it, I'm sure America's benefiting from Mexico too.
Well, I think you hit the hammer on the head, and that is money. And why would they build, you know, a wall? Well, one, it costs money, but number two, there's economics involved. So if you give everyone what they want, let's keep all the illegals out. Well, who's going to be your maid? Who's going to do that lawn? Who's going to do your gardening and landscape at $5 an hour or $10 an hour under the counter? Right? You're going to get some professionals and what? One place I knew, you know, I lived at, and they hired a new service, and the rate tripled. A couple of months are like, we're going back to Jose. What can I tell you? Economics.
Who's going to roof your house? I lived in Reseda, California, North Hollywood, California, L.A. All the roofers were Mexicans. There were no legal white-looking brothers, you know, with tool belts.
And they're working all day in the heat, fast and hard. And I can only tell you, our pastor, who's very white, Pastor McCulty, and he has a friend that does construction, and he was short one day, and he said, could you help us out? And he's like, yeah, you know, he's a handyman. And everyone on the crew was Hispanic, and they were surprised. They said, we were surprised you could keep up with us, because whenever they bring in, you know, a white guy, they cannot hang. It's too slow. They don't want to work in the heat. And I'm just saying, you know, if people want to go out and pick lettuce, go right ahead. There's plenty of fields out there, you know. So it is supply and demand. And, you know, what's the cure? I don't have the definitive answer, but I'm just saying you build a wall, it's not going to fix the problem.
Well,
like
I think Don's right in the sense that our planet's getting more populated. All the problems of the world are becoming global and international. It's not confined to the United States anymore. But I don't think we should have a we them mentality. I don't think that's helpful.
As I said, Ireland and Belfast, they built a wall, a peace wall, and the killing stopped. Just about every nation has had a wall. You got a wall there in Syria, between Syria and Turkey. A country has. Right. When I go to an African country, I have to have a visa to get in. And if I don't have the proper documentation, they put me back on the plane at the plane's airline's expense and send me back. You have 351,000 illegal aliens lavishing in U.S. federal and state prisons. Americans are paying for that. Look at the unemployment, not the unemployment, but the workers' comp in California. Illegals have just about devastated that. No, send them back where they come from and let them come back right.
I've seen the downside of immigration too. In 2000, my twin sister had a baby, and I was in Minnesota a couple months, and I came back, and I had to live in a domestic abuse shelter. And every person who got Section 8 housing was an illegal immigrant, and I was the only American, and I was the only American who did not get Section 8 because I was working, and I made $1,000 more over the cutoff. It was 18. I think the cutoff was $18,000, and I made $19,000. But the problem was is there was a bus strike, and I had to pay $40 a day to get to work to make $64, and I still did not qualify, and eventually I had to move into one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in East L.A. because that's all I could afford. And all my friends, including Laura, who John knows, got Section 8 housing, but I got nothing, and I was the only American in that group of 10 or 12 women. And that was in Los Angeles. They were from Belize, Argentina, Uruguay, and there were a few Mexicans. And one girl even had the nerve to get pregnant in the shelter.
Well, I don't mind building a wall across Canada, and that would be our infrastructure additional jobs. We need to bring some of this money offshore, back onshore, and get this infrastructure built. Because we're not going to have trains anymore because the tracks are going to be busted. We're not going to have airports because the runways are cracked. This is a dire emergency, people, and we need to get infrastructure rebuilt. That'll give us jobs. We'll be able to build walls everywhere we want to. We can build a wall across the motherfucking Atlantic Ocean. I really don't give a shit. Bottom line is that there are ways to get this done, and if we don't keep giving these corporations all the money they can handle, banks too big to fail, all this talk that you guys are doing, none of you guys I hear is involved in your party politics. Don't care what party it is. Get down to the legislature. Get into the law book. That's where the change begins. All this yelling and screaming makes me sad.
I wouldn't call it yelling and screaming, Don. It's reality. Like, I had a friend named Manuel. His mom used to go to Mexico every weekend before 9/11, and she would charge her friends $2,000 to hide in the station wagon under blankets. And they would come into America, and she would make about $8,000 a weekend. And back then it was easy. You know, Mexicans are survivors. I know a Mexican who crossed the border on foot, and he ended up later on having his own, he had his own maintenance company with like a giant Ford Econoline thing, and he had his own painting company, and he was making like $50,000 a year. I'm not sure if he was reporting his income, but he ended up marrying a Chinese woman, and he came to America with nothing but shoes, pants, and a shirt.
I tell you something else they should do too. They should limit the term on the work visa. They need to limit that to about 3 years. After 3 years, you go back where you came from. There should be a dedicated program to start training American citizens, American students, American children for these jobs that you see these work visas are going to.
Yeah, I don't know much about work visas. I know more about the farming thing where they're only up there for 6 months. John, can you comment on that?
Yeah, I was going to say, in theory, I like it. It's good. It's smart. But then there's the reality. Someone gets over here and they know the rules. It's like, get pregnant, especially if it's an American citizen that's white, that has, money or whatever. It's like, get hooked up. And now we got, what we do? Do we deport the mom and, leave the kid here, or the kid's a citizen? So there's some other things in there that, it's always kind of like you have a presidential leader start talking, like, oh, we're going to change America and do this and do that. But there's a girl running around with three kids in a, baby carriage, and she's not going to change. There's a couple of Hispanic kids smoking pot and playing video games, and like they could care less about change and education and all that stuff. So, but I like, you have to start somewhere.
UK does it all the time. Cameron said to the Syrian refugees, if you don't learn how to speak English, you got to leave. The president of the Netherlands said, if you don't learn how to speak Dutch, you got to leave. So we could revise the 14th Amendment to do away with the anchor baby portion out of it.
I agree there should be some rules, but I used to teach high school in San Fernando, California, and there were some parents of the kids that have been here 15, 20 years who could only speak maybe 5 words of English, and they'd been here for 30 years. Because everybody in San Fernando speaks Spanish anyway, so for them, they were street vendors.
Do you grandfather those kids in, or do you start, going into houses? You remember the alien guy, is it Gonzalez? I keep forgetting his name. The kid that was in Cuba, they came over, his mom died, getting him over here. He was staying with his uncle.
Alien Gonzalez.
And they pulled him right out of the closet, and everyone was screaming and crying, and it was this big, you know, thing. Well, that was one kid, but what do you do with, you know, a couple million people? Or,
well, you
know,
back in 1943, the United States expelled Mexicans who was born here by the thousands.
Well, during the Depression in the 30s, they also bussed a lot of them back to Mexico because they were escaped. There was a socialist movement in California, and the Mexicans were scapegoated for, you know, like the high unemployment. And some of them had been living here 15 or 20 years, and they were deported. You're right about that.
Well, they bussed tens and brought in pickup trucks in the 60s when I'm in Los Angeles and San Diego by the tens of thousands per day. To garden and be in hospitality and work the farm and the Beverly Hills mansions, and then they take them back every day. Probably tens of thousands.
But, Don, there was a famous writer who ran, I think it was Upton Sinclair or something. He ran under a progressive movement, and California almost got hijacked by socialism and all these. Conservatives were scared, and they started scapegoating all the Mexicans, and some of them never came back. They were sent back, and they did not come back.
Right. And what's your point?
It was Upton Sinclair. I guess the point is that any time that our country has a major crisis, that certain groups get targeted, and now our country is so diverse now. By the time it's 2020, it's only going to probably be 40 or 50% white.
Right. And whose fault is that?
It's white people because they forgot how to make babies.
Thank you very much. That's what I've been saying all along. You know, but you bring in, when you start shipping in too many people than can handle the need for production, then you're in a quandary. And they, the oppressors, as I call them, they brought in too many people. The people grew exponentially, and now we are all in a quandary. If we want to keep this democracy looking the same, all that history crap is out the window because we are presently making history. All that garbage about Roosevelt and Franklin, and that's bullshit. Because right now we are in a time where nobody has treaded in existence.
Well, making babies is one thing. But when you abort, you know, black women, since Roe versus Wade to about 2005 or 2009, they aborted a whole damn continent of children.
I'd say more white women aborted children than black women.
Well, it's more white women. There's more white women in the country, but I'm talking about black women. Black women aborted close to 18 million babies. That's how else
no,
your
no,
pop, but, present population. That's totally ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly what's happened. And the thing is that it's going to get worse before it gets better because all these abortion clinics are going to be bombed, and we're not going to have any, and there's going to be some kind of revolt.
Got some, like, across the river from me over there in Illinois, in Granite City, where they abort a child at 9 months. They kill it in the womb, because if it come out live, then they got to do all they can to try to save it. But they kill it in the womb at 9 months in Granite City at Hope Lives Clinic.
Where's Granite City?
It's
Illinois.
Well, why would a woman carry a child 9 months and abort it? That's just insanity.
Because she can.
Yes.
Well, that's just, you know, someone who does stuff like that, it just does, they're not right in the head.
They're not right in the head. I'm trying to tell you, the paradigm is off kilter. You guys are missing the whole point. When I say you guys, I mean the civilization as a whole. The Matrix is incorrect. Normalcy is not normal. We have to divide a new paradigm where these minorities fit in, where we have an opportunity to gain jobs and gain the knowledge of those who are in leadership right now before we get into a civil war. an unpeaceful transition. And if we don't do that, if we don't ask for the masses' help to get to garner the information that we need as a minority community, and I mean the Indians, the Spanish, the Indians, every other minority community, because that is truly the enemy of the white man, that we need to garner that information so that we can take ourselves into the future. That's why I say we've got to look at the laws and reshape them. We've got the Supreme Court justices coming down the pike. We've got to make sure that this is all done right, or else our children are in for a real copyright.
I'm a strong advocate for the Second Amendment. I don't want to see no Obama appointment, and don't want to see a Hillary Clinton appointment.
There's nothing going to happen to the Second Amendment in Hillary Clinton's tenure. That's going to be on the back burner. What she's got to do.
She's already said that.
Man, what she said and what's going to happen is two different things. Guaranteed.
You're right. That's why I can't take a chance.
That's all right. You don't have no choice because there's nobody else. The sad thing about it is that nobody even knows about gun control.
I'm gonna tell you something. You know, there's a lot of black people that's voting for Donald Trump. And I am one of them.
They're sick and tired.
No, it's not scary. They vote their interest. You know that the number of black children. Wait a minute. You know the number of black children that are attending pre-K and kindergarten to 12th grade school, where the tuition is over $40,000, has increased tremendously. So they are voting their interest. It's not a social agenda. They're voting their interest, and they should.
Absolutely.
Well,
I don't have
Donald Trump when all he does is use words that divide people? He doesn't give a flying blank about the poor or middle class. He's never suffered one day in his life. He has no social causes.
That's not the point. That's not the point.
What's the fucking point?
He's going to bring the revolution, damn it. Don't you understand this is a complete change in our entire political and governmental system? That is exactly what it is, and that's exactly what black people need. If it's in the form of a dumbass cracker who really doesn't know what he's talking about politically, but he does know, especially foreign policy, but he does know what he's talking about business-wise, he's going to tear up the country and then rebuild it in whatever the Koch brothers' image is. But the bottom line is that it's going to be better than what the minorities are facing now. You don't understand.
Okay, well, you know what? I have a bachelor's in government and a master's in political science, and I want someone normal in there, not someone who shoots from the hip. He's 69 years old. He's already lived a good life. He has a limited vision of government. He doesn't know anything about how to policy formation or implementation on the state or federal level. He has no conception of any type of international foreign policy. He has a we them mentality, and he's more dangerous than Hillary Clinton could even want to be.
I disagree, because I've been watching politics since Eisenhower, although I was a kid. I watched John F. Nixon. I watched Kennedy. I watched Nixon. I am sick and tired. And Nixon, you know, 28% of the blacks that voted for Nixon. Nixon does some good things. Of course, they do some bad things. But I am sick and tired of these politicians, these lawyers. The Hillary Clintons, the Cruises, the Bernie Sanders. I want somebody like Trump. I never have seen anyone like Trump before. The closest that ever came was Jimmy Carter. And he was pitiful in some ways and sad in the other. But I would like to see Donald Trump, without getting into the platform that he has casually stated, but just because who he is and where he comes from. As Newt Gingrich said, and I'm not a fan of Newt Gingrich, the reason they don't like Donald Trump because he's not a member of the good old boy. He's not a member of the secret society.
And that's what I'm saying. But, you know, the bottom line is that if Trump goes in there, like I said earlier, it's no big deal. because there's a checks and balances. There's a reason for it.
Absolutely
so
right.
And so that doesn't matter who our president really is. It matters, though, the downline tickets and the downline issue. Now, if we have to have anybody in there who is opposed to normality, which there is no such thing as normality, Jane, but if there is somebody there who is different than normal, so be it.
Yes, John?
What? Where?
John's
there? Where's John?
No, John's phone died, and he texted me back. He's probably charging it now. He only has 5 minutes to call back in, and then he's going to lose his window of opportunity.
All right.
Must have an Obama phone.
He probably does.
Is your name – very funny. Is your name Pianchi?
There you go.
Yeah, because I see you in the chat room, Pianchi. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to everything you're saying, but I think because I'm in my 50s and I've seen how Obama's been treated the last 8 years, I'm kind of disenfranchised from the political system, and I don't think I have the capability of picking an outsider at this point.
Well, Obama have done some good things. He's done some things up. You know, one of the things that Obama was coerced to get involved in some of these wranglings that we see. It was Hillary Clinton coerced him, according to the email from Valerie Slaughter, where she congratulated Hillary for bringing Obama over to the side of bombing Libya. Well, he didn't want to do that because Gates had told him September of the year before that you don't want to do that. Plus, his generals telling me you don't want to be messing with Syria. You don't want to be messing with Iran. Because you're getting into something that you won't be able to walk out of readily, and you surely won't be able to walk out of without spending a whole lot of money that you don't have.
I noticed that Obama held back in the ISIS situation, but go ahead, John, can I just finish quick? I think that Obama saved lives by not going directly into the ISIS problem. Because they were fighting in the Nineveh Plains. The only thing that really disturbs me in the last 12 months is all the killings in Europe. Because, well, Europe has capable armies too, but they can't expect the U.S. to save them every time. But apparently they have pretty bad intelligence.
Well, just like Trump said, Japan and South Korea need to spend more of their own money on their own protection. And stop the United States has to stop taking that role in the world. United States need to cut out some of this aid, especially to Israel and Egypt. Those dollars could go toward U.S. citizens, children, young students who's struggling with their college expenses.
I do agree with something Trump said the other day. I think Japan should be able, after all these years, to be able to build their own army now to fight against North Korea.
They don't want to fight anybody. You crazy?
Why they have to fight?
Trump is the one who said that Japan should be allowed to build their own army just as a defense mechanism to fight.
Yeah, well, he didn't say that they should fight North Korea. You just said that.
No, he said that they should have an army in place that they created that in case of a major conflict with North Korea. Now, Japan is not allowed to do that under the agreement, the World War II agreement that when the war ended. They're not allowed
Trump
to
is
build
right.
their own army.
You need to stop giving these aid to Israel because all it does is come back around through the back door and it's used to buy your politicians off against the will of the people that vote for them.
Okay, so you don't think we should give any aid to Israel?
Nope. Get that money to your own children.
Okay, but Israel is, if you're a Christian and you believe in the Judeo-Christian principle of protecting Israel because it's the Holy Land, and the Christians believe in the end time, there's going to be a final battle in Armageddon,
Well, Christians don't believe that, ma'am. Come on now. Well, how are you going to throw some? And you're basing all this stuff, and I really don't want to get into that discussion. I say
neither
no. I personally say no. Let them. They got a market. They got an economy. Let them take care of their own self. Why do we continue? Why do the U.S. American citizen have to bear the brunt of expenses for protecting the world? This is crazy.
Imperialism.
You got veterans that's sleeping under bridges. You got college students that's got student loan debt that's going to burden them until they in their elderly years. It's silly.
Do you understand? And make sure that everybody and the listeners understand that because of the military industrial complex, pharmaceutical, and all that other stuff, this is how the world works. This is how the world works. And that's one of the things that if we do pare it down, we've got to wean ourselves off of it slowly. And Donald Trump is proposing to do it just quick. So we need to make sure that we don't make other vacuums around the world. And that's what's happened now. That's exactly what's happened now.
Okay,
U.S. is overthrowing duly democratically elected governments. Bashar in Syria was duly elected. Yanukovych in the Kremlin was duly elected.
No.
Pianki, we could talk till we're blue in the face, but even if the noblest person gets elected, I want to say something. Let's just say the most ideal situation occurs in early November, and the right person gets the job who will protect the American people. Do you think, even with all their ideal intentions, they're going to be able to save every veteran, every person on the brink of heading to the streets, every person on the verge of homelessness? With all the money we have in America, a lot of it still goes to special interests, and somehow with all the Catholic charities in the inner cities and blah, 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 it seems that some people keep falling through the cracks no matter who's in office.
Well, you should have the opportunity to be able to seek out your liberty and your pursuit of happiness. But I can say one thing. I understand that the Republican National Committee has banned guns at the convention. Well, I'm here to tell you this. If you don't listen to the people, you're going to have a big problem. If the people say they want somebody, then you should listen to the people, not your own selfish, your own misguided, and your own corrupt ways. Anyway, fellas, I enjoyed the conversation. Whoever's going to the Trump rally. Only thing I can say is head out early, around 5 or 4:30 to 5 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you for you did a great job. We appreciate it, and please call back another time. Okay.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye, Pianki.
You got it.
Bye, Pianki.
Yeah.
Don, the hour's up. I'm hoping that John didn't hang up. He claims his phone died. Maybe he felt a bit overwhelmed.
About what?
I don't know. You know, maybe I don't know what kind of day he had. Maybe he had something going on. Maybe it was too much. But we can talk about 10 more minutes. I have to be to work at 9 in the morning. Do you have some comments?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a nice little conversation because the gentleman, Pianki, had evidence to back up some of the thing, his point. Now, the thing is that I mentioned it, we're in a historic time now. Everybody's talking about what happened in 1822 and what happened in 1914 and shit. And this is no joke right now, and I can tell you that this is a very, very important time in our history, and we are making history right now. Whatever we decide determines the entire basis of democracy. We're not playing here. This is not about talking about Nixon or Johnson or anybody else. This is talking about
Jane and Don and John and whoever else is out here trying their best to make sure the world is staying on a proper place. You know, there's no way something like TPP should still be on the books. There's no way that we should be talking about Roe versus Wade again. You know, there's no way that we should be revisiting voter rights and Article 4 of the Fifth Article 4.
I guess my comment, you hit the nail on the head. The face and texture of democracy and the fabric is going to be vehemently changed no matter if it's Hillary, Bernie, Trump, Kasich, or somebody else. It's going to change because the last 8 years it's been in the resistance mode, and our country is on the brink of failure, in my opinion, and it can't keep going forward the way it has been. It's just not going to work. And I'm open to change. You know, I had like a creepy feeling today, like, why am I interested in going to the Trump rally? It's kind of like standing at the side of a road of a car accident. I want to see what's going to happen.
That's completely justifiable. To want to see what's going on, you know, keep it fun. Keep it fun. Keep it entertaining. You know, that was one of the things that I had to tell all of my volunteers yesterday, all the people that we work with, volunteers, is that, and I tried to tell them, but they wouldn't listen. For the most part, the people, the voters, they were very, very calm, collected, long lines, yes. They stuck it out. They knew it was going to be a long day. And so they were very, very good. They were behaved very well. Being the sergeant of arms, I had to make sure that I policed the entire event. I'm talking a big old arena that we use for our college basketball. So it was very ruly, the participants. The volunteers, on the other hand, I don't know if they had shock therapy or if somebody put too much caffeine in their coffee or something. They were off the chain. They were so tense and nervous and unnerving to the participants. And that was sad because you're supposed to make it, this is a Democratic Party, a get-together. And the Republicans had the same thing. And theirs was so the same morose there as it was at the Democratic Party. You know, they're making this not entertaining, not fun anymore for the proletariat. And so we're trying to make sure I'm going to make sure that the next caucus we have a little enjoyment. You know, just something where we can say, okay, let's talk under a comfortable setting instead of under terse, derisive situation where computers are malfunctioning and people are grouped in too large and too many people in the small rooms, you know, where fire hazards and they have to be moved and logistic problems left and right. We've got to make sure that we make this a more comfortable experience for the voters. And that's one of the things that
I guess the whole thing is that, you know, the election cycle was pretty frightening, and now it's gotten to the midpoint, like all the inner fighting with Republicans, and now it's kind of dying out, and Donald Trump's going to have to hone. He got in trouble twice since Friday trying to he misstated comments about nuclear proliferation and abortion, and he said something like, I don't know if he said it wrong or if it was taken out of context, but he said, women should be punished for having abortions. Well, anyways, whatever it was said, it was taken in the wrong context. But he claims that the media distorted the statement. To make a long story short, it's not going to be, it might be frenzied all the way till June, till the California convention, but eventually it has to get sane, and hopefully it will by September.
No. Once the primaries hit, once June hits, that's when the excitement comes. Because whoever is Donald Trump's opponent, and it's a given that it'll be Donald Trump, whoever his opponent is,
from then until November will be a cat, not a cat fight. It's going to be a lion mauling. And if it's Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, oh my God, that is going to be as entertaining as we will probably see in the 21st century so far.
For entertainment value alone, I would like to see that. But, of course, I'm hoping it's going to be someone like Hillary and Kasich.
Well, we'll see, because Kasich still has a chance if there's a convention. You know, there's so many things that are still up in the air in the technical process itself. But again, let me reiterate to anybody who might be interested, don't worry about the presidential race. Worry about all the downline tickets and issues.
We will.
Thank you.
Anyways, can I tell you a couple funny things before we hang up?
Go for it.
I advertised on Facebook that I downsized this week. I eliminated my home phone. I no longer have cable. I have 7 channels, including ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. And I have a cell phone, and I downgraded that to text and talk and no internet because I have to pay a bunch of bills in the next couple months.
Okay.
So,
And
I was very sick. Go ahead.
Am I supposed to say yay or boo?
Well, the moral of the story is that I have some loose ends to tie up before Lauren graduates. And I might be moving back to the West Coast by December. And I got some major bills to pay before I can get out of here. And I'm setting goals, and I'm going to do it by trimming expenses. It's
fantastic.
Not a yay or a boo. It's just a yeah.
Okay. Because for the most part, that's, you know, if you look at your own personal, that philosophy, that's a philosophy you just espoused. And you look at how Donald Trump must have did that. He just wants to pay. He just came out today and said he wants to pay off the entire debt in 5 years or eight. It was 8 years or something like that. 5 years. He wants to pay off the entire debt.
Well, that's the goal. That's the goal I agree with.
And how are you going to do that? We're talking about $20 trillion with a T, trillion dollars. That's not doable. I don't care if you sign every inversion 100%, you're not going to be able to do that. So
not every
be-
Congress is not going to eliminate every agency. That both Cruz and Trump said they're going to eliminate the EPA. You can't just eliminate the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Exactly.
You know,
they're
very unrealistic in their approach. So I hope they realize that.
See,
it's not
going to
be
the.
Well, I know Hillary's the only pragmatic. Maybe people don't like her, but she really is the only one who knows the nuts and bolts of government and Congress.
Yeah. But she's not pragmatic. She's the greediest. She's probably greedier than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is just better than she is at business.
Okay, so she came from Illinois. She's been in public service 35 years. Why does she even need to be in public service anymore? She could just be a grandmother now.
That's the world domination thing I was mentioning. The Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes, they all want to be, and Cheney, they all want to be the kings of the world, the royal family of the world, and they're going to be able to do that because after this, they're going to be infiltrating the UN, as I mentioned. And the UN right now is taking over the TPP, TPP, the UN and the IMF will have the policing and the banking control of the world, of the global world order. They will have it with TPP. So, because that'll be in trade.
Yeah, I saw the video called I saw the video where they explained how all the top elite people are going to control all the world's finances, and it's just going to be a small group of people.
Exactly. And so watch when Obama leaves office, how long it takes him to gravitate towards a UN membership, and he'll grow from there. Hillary, if she's the president, she'll have the control of the United States. The United States and the UN will be able to hook up and start a real United States imperial world domination. But that's in the
future. I guess my last question is the work. My last question is the election rigged?
Yes. You see what's happening to Donald Trump in Tennessee, where he is complaining that they're taking delegates away from him and giving him to Cruz, and he also, and that's something that he might sue or have filed a lawsuit about. And then he's also worried about Kasich being in there, and they're saying he's being bankrolled just to take votes away from Trump. And that, that's not illegal per se, but it's certainly unethical if it's a purposeful ploy. But we're looking at the fact that there are voting machines all over the country that are rigged. Once that vote is cast, the vote goes out into the once you get your paper receipt, that vote is changed inside the electronic voting machine. And right now, if you want to see in Mineral County here in Nevada, has a case pending on whether the voting machine was found to be rigged, but they are trying to see who is responsible. Either the voting machine manufacturer or someone in the party or someone, whatever, nefarious group in county government, or even, who knows. The bottom line is that, yes, votes are campaigns, elections are rigged. They're rigged all over the country, and they've been that way from a long time ago, but they're much easier with the electronic voting machine.
I was just letting you know, I have to go to my school job tomorrow.
Okay.
So my conclusion is, can you hold on 1 second? Just a second.
That's a great conclusion.
My conclusion is this. Beyond what human functions and institutions can do, and where money is being power brokered and thrown at, from the smallest citizen who has belief in the citizen and the candidates to the person who serves, in the city administration, only through goodwill can our country restore itself. Maybe Donald Trump has been misjudged, and he has good intentions, but bad delivery. I'm not going to show him too much mercy because I think he's alienated some people, but I think America has to come together, and it can't always be on the discourse of vitriol that we're going to have to find. I was watching the Dukakis-Bush CNN special, and I have to say in the old days, George Bush 41, the older one, he was probably the most boring candidate I've ever watched. I mean, even Mike Dukakis had more swarry than him. And I know Walter Mondale from my state was rather boring too. But, the fact of the matter is in the old days, people were more professional and presented themselves in a more professional manner. Now, things have gotten pretty crazy and people don't know how to respond to it. But all I can say is that America is headed for a major downslide if we can't get our priorities straight. And I think we are going to crash.
Yes, we are. You got to talk to your people, Jane. You got to tell them exactly what you just said, but you got to do it in their face, in person, and in their face. And you'll take the information you get from the Trump campaign tomorrow, and then the next board meeting or city council meeting, give a report, independent report of where you think.
Right, I'm not going to be biased and twisted. I'm just going to lay it straight.
Right.
But people, like we were talking about on the phone last night about the Koch brothers who control Nebraska, Wisconsin, and another state you mentioned, you know,
right.
they disabled the police pension and teacher unions. For what purpose? The backbone of the community is, you know, for people in public service, and it doesn't benefit anyone to have those hooligans with every hand in government. So the outcome is going to be pretty treacherous if people like the Koch brothers are going to continue.
Well, that's because business is business. And business, when you're a business person, you want to keep the money as close to in the family as you possibly can. You can't let your income or the profits go to anybody who's outside of your realm of livelihood, if you will, or life. And people on the outside are including in are Hispanics and Blacks and Indians from East India. And, you know, we've got other people who are having very, very difficult times, you know, having anything when there are very few who have everything. You know, our dollar is worthless. Our dollar is built on our conception.
Revolving debts from China?
Yeah, all of that. The gold standard is gone, so there is nothing that is backing our dollar. There is nothing. And our dollar
But people are hoarding gold now.
Right, that's because they know that there will be a time where that paper, piece of paper, is going to be used for burning wood, like in the Depression. They were using money to burn their fires at night. And that's exactly where we're headed right now. You know, you've got the interest rates here in the Federal Reserve, and these interest rates have been 0.1% for the last 8 years. That's not sustainable. That's where our money is going. The interest rates are so low that everybody is borrowing money so cheaply that there's going to be a backlash. There's going to be a big problem if something happens where interest rates go up and people can't pay their loans. We're going to have foreclosures. Like, we're going to have business closing up, bankruptcies everywhere. So the Federal Reserve has got to be very careful what they're doing. But what they really need to do is up the interest rates, because that shows health. That shows fiduciary health. The economy is healthy when interest rates are higher. And so we're doing this to ourselves. We're committing suicide ourselves if you're talking money. And that's what people don't know. That's where God is right when he says people are stupid. Because the things that count, they have no interest or inclination to learn. And the things that don't count, like the Kardashians, you've got some of the biggest ratings in TV. You know, and that's stupid. That's stupidity. So John was right in his assessment of people, and he doesn't have to go, what were you calling it, tragically, mentally unincorporated? What did you call it? Some stupid-ass acronym. The TMIs or whatever. You know, that's stupid. Tell it like it is. Stupidity. We ain't got no time to try to dance around this bullshit. Donald Trump, again, is right about political correctness. It's killing us. It's keeping people divided. If you say what's on your mind, people know where you're coming from. They can deal with you from that aspect, and then everybody can go on. It's so simple. Donald Trump, that's why he has a PA, because he keeps it simple.
I hate to tell you this, but I have to go.
No, you should have been at work.
No, I'm going to work at 9 in the morning, but my son is ill, and it's after midnight here.
No, it's not. We've been on an hour and a half, so just go on to bed, baby.
Okay, well, you did a great job, and have a good night. I just want to thank our audience and thank our caller, and I'll try to find out what happened to John. Okay? Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.